You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Atlanta After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Atlanta After Show.
Yo, what up, AfterBuzzers? It's your boy DJ Jesse Jenny here in studio for the Real Housewives of Atlanta season. Damn, what are we? Season five?
Six.
Damn.
It's been six of them.
I just can't even get over every single time I say it. And it's funny because I love Nene memes. And it's so interesting to go back to old pictures of Nene.
And you're like, who is that face?
Who is that?
Where? Oh, okay. That was the first nose.
A change gonna come.
Yes.
This episode is called All in a Day's Twerk. I'm here with the lovely Courtney Stewart.
Hello, everybody.
Stephanie Bauer is busy, you know, red carpets for Thor and all, you know,
special
all that
life
stuff.
And whatnot.
Yeah. But I don't know, I was kind of disappointed with the episode.
Of course!
It was entertaining in its moments.
It had moments.
I feel like it was, rather than a filler, I feel like it was an informer. I feel like it gave us some key points.
It gave us a few details, yes.
Let's talk about Candy first.
Okay, Miss Candy.
It started with Candy and her manager, Don Juan. And, after I got over the fact of trying to figure out if the chair was actually an inflatable pink chair.
I was just going to say, after we got over the fact that there was, like, a pink pleather chair in her office.
Well, yeah, at first I thought it was a blow-up chair, and I'm like...
But it wasn't, like, moving when he sat in it. So, it was really shiny, though. It was interesting. I was like, I get the point, but, like, that's a little...
Candy-coated.
Anyway, well, we saw what she decorated in the house, so... She likes it flashy.
Yeah. So she talks to Dawn about her mom and Todd and that whole situation. And it was interesting because we talked about it a little bit last week, but Dawn kind of touched on, well, maybe she feels like, you know, she won't fit in.
Yeah.
And that can happen in relationships. You get caught up, and we don't really know what Candy's like in a relationship.
All the time. It can happen. And we don't know, but Mama Joyce does.
Right. And Dawn does, too. For him to have made the same comment, well, yeah, you know, sometimes I wonder where I'm going to fit in.
Yeah.
Which makes me think, who was it? Was it Andre? Her ex.
AJ.
You know, I wonder if maybe when they were together, he came in and started bossing things around for Dawn to have that kind of mentality. Because Todd doesn't, from what we see, doesn't come off, but he is a producer.
He is in the entertainment business. They will, on some level, become a partnership as a married couple, and he could very well try to step in and do some things. So I kind of get it.
I see it, too, because, you know, it's like his jobs are kind of far
out. Sporadic.
She doesn't want him to go really far, so it's like, well, can I get on the payroll?
Exactly.
And then, well, maybe we don't need Dawn.
Exactly.
And, I mean, as much as Candy's saying, like, rah, 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 you know, I do this, I mean, a year from now, it might make more sense to bring him on as a partner, you
and
know?
She may decide, oh, I'm ready to have a baby now, so I'm going to take some time off and let Todd handle things while I'm gone, and shit happens.
So, I don't know, I thought it was an interesting conversation. What do you think she got from it?
A fair argument, I think. She seemed, like, open to it, because she seemed like, oh, I didn't think you would have thought like that.
And she also made an interesting thing about money. She was like, what the heck, y'all? Like, I'm about my business. Like, is all you want from me money? That was a weird comment
I feel like people comment and say that all the time. Like, because even on Twitter, people are like, see, everybody worry about their checks and money coming from Candy. I'm like, it's not just about her giving them a check. It's about their place in her business and in her life, and it's a fair concern for people to have. When people get into a serious relationship that leads to a marriage, things do change, and there's nothing wrong with them changing, but it's a matter of how she plans to, like, work those things out. And I think Dawn, of all of them, I mean, her mom I don't think has as much of a real concern as she maybe should. Or as she thinks she should. But, I mean, Dawn has got some legit... Because I don't know what he does for real, but I could see Todd totally taking over in his space.
Being the new manager in town.
Exactly.
And then, you know, she had that conversation with her daughter, Riley, which is really interesting. We found out Mama Joyce was exaggerating a little bit.
Exaggerate, but I don't know.
Or Riley could have just been trying to cover up her tracks.
How do you feel? Because I didn't feel like Riley was being... Because, like, Riley's always been real cute and, like, kind of quiet, and she'll say a little bit... But Riley is older now. Mm-hmm. She's, what, 13, 14 years old? And she was very...
Doesn't she come off... this is so sad, and I hate talking about kids like this. She came off very defeated.
She always comes off kind of... Yeah. But I don't know if that's just sort of her, like, personality.
I think she hates the cameras.
Yeah. I bet she does.
It's kind of like whatever my mom does, it's what she has.
Yeah.
Which makes me think maybe the Todd thing, it's easy for her to be like... I mean, you know, my grandma, like, just say hi to him, like, because she knows, I mean, this is what mom's going to do.
Exactly.
Mom always does what she does.
And I'm sure grandma, like, made it more of an issue, maybe, than it was at that time. But the fact that she's not excited about a wedding means something.
Right.
Because she did say, I mean, I'm just kind of, okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, but you're not excited? Like, no. She was not. I mean, and I don't know. She could just be in her teenagerness. Like, I don't care. Which is totally
like
possible.
Like, mom, stop driving me to school.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff.
So that could be where that came from. But at the same time, I don't know.
I mean, to sit there and say, I have no feeling about it. Like, whoa.
Like, dang. Don't you at least want a new dress? Like, some shoe? You excited about your shoes? No.
But my thing is why are we talking about marriage when you guys have only been together for a year and... There's all this concern, like, your daughter clearly, shouldn't you wait a little bit more until your daughter's like, you know what, Ma, like, he did it. I mean, it was interesting.
They don't have a date.
That's true.
They don't have a date yet.
It's interesting to hear Riley say, you know, I mean, when you get married, grandma's going to have to just deal with it.
And
then I thought it was interesting, she said, you know, and if she can't accept it, she won't be able to be around us that much. That was interesting. So, I don't know. It's kind of cloudy with where Riley really is.
I think she probably accepts it. She's probably not a big fan of it because she's had her mom. And it's just been her mom and her for most of their lives, what have you. So, most of her life. So, I'm sure she's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's here. I got to deal with it. He's not that bad, but I'm not excited about him either kind of thing.
I would love to see, you know, a scene of... Riley and him kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
Seeing all these fun times that Candy talks about
she says they have a great time together. So, yeah. But Riley doesn't seem like she has a great time doing anything.
Yeah.
But again, it could just be because she's on camera and she don't like it.
So, do you take it Mama Joyce might have been a little overreacting about Riley's situation? Or do you think Riley is kind of... Or it was kind of misinterpreted. Yeah, Riley probably did agree with what her grandmother was saying. Yeah.
I could see Riley being like, just say hi to him and going upstairs, Grandma, and don't make a big deal about it. That's what I do. Like, and I'm sure she didn't mean it, Todd is this horrible person that I don't want to be around. But at the same time, I think that there are probably some small feelings of non-like for him that she has. Whether or not they're just like teenagers, sort of selfish, I don't want my mom to have to, I don't like somebody else in my house because it's always just been my house type thing is irrelevant. But Mama Joyce takes that and turns it into a...
Oh, you need to talk to your daughter.
You need to talk to your daughter about what's going on.
Oh, but so moving on from that, we have the scene in Nene.
Oh, wait, before we move on, let me just say, Riley, I'm cool with her little red tips.
Yeah.
I do not like Candy's Ronald McDonald Puff. But Riley, yours is cute.
Riley's was cute.
She was cute. Okay, moving on.
So, Nene, she's sitting there humming away. Greg comes in. I didn't like this scene at all.
So dumb.
I hated it, and I know we're going to get more coming up from it.
Yeah.
Because I just read somewhere, Cynthia said Nene has kind of changed a little bit. She's become a little, I mean, obviously.
A little diva.
Yeah, a little diva. We're going to get a scene of her... The two of them shopping in the near future, and Nene acts like she don't know nothing. We got the scene today with Greg cleaning, and Nene went along to say these. I don't clean a toilet. That's not what I do. Sweeping with a school broom. That was actually funny, because who really does be having one of those in their house? And then obviously, you know, Glee got pushed back, and then the new normal didn't work out.
So she's got to find something to do with her time, and Greg thinks she needs to clean. I guess Greg don't work right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what Greg does.
And Nene's talking about, I don't know about you, Greg, but I like to work. Well, I mean, girl, if the acting ain't working, you need a job somewhere else.
You need to keep looking. Well, maybe she probably is auditioning and, you know, sending tapes and whatnot. But that was just dumb. And Greg is like somebody granddaddy walk around. Come on, baby, come on now. Let's do this. You got to help. That was cheesy.
Yeah, they're very like, I don't know how I feel about their relationship sometimes, because like today
you
it just
like that's a daddy.
Yeah, today he came off like a puppy dog. Like, it was every room she went in, he went in. And it was just kind of like...
Well, he's kind of been like that. But I feel like that's sort of what they've decided their characters need to be for the show. Like, because they want to keep... I think fans were concerned, like, what did Greg do to Nene? And so now he's just like, Nene's my everything. I love her like the goddess that she is. Not to say that he's not sincere and really does love her, because they obviously got remarried for a reason. But I think they kind of know their lane as a couple on the show, and they want to make sure that Greg's likability factor is still there and all of that good stuff. So that's why the cheesy, let me protect her, let me walk down the hall and get her away from Kenya, let me walk around the house and do everything for her. It's like, yeah.
It's part of their storyline. So, I mean, where do you kind of see this going with Nene? I mean, she can't really be doing this for too long.
I guess she gets, like, appearance money and stuff like that, but I'm just like...
You ain't making
that much money.
You ain't a main character.
No, you are a recurring guest star. So, I mean, I know it's decent money, especially, like, for regular folks, but living... large, but I guess she still has the Bravo check, so that helps. But
see, girl, you missed the mark. You should have been close with Ryan Murphy and gotten yourself a job on American Horror Story.
You should have been one of them witches.
One of the little voodoo girls.
Yes.
all right, so yeah, Nene was boring this week, which I was kind of irritating with. Another person who was boring this week was Phaedra.
Phaedra's going to be boring for the whole season.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Next week looks kind of
interesting. I don't know.
You think it's going to be a flop?
I feel like they're setting us up for it to be all exciting, but like everybody keeps saying nothing happened anyway, so then there's nothing interesting in it if we already know nothing happened. And then Phaedra was on Watch What Happens Live last night, and well, I did note that she was not there with Apollo, because they often appear places together. She was still very like, that was last year. Nothing
really
happened. Like, that was her attitude about everything, so it's just not interesting. She's not engaging at all.
Do you think that maybe she got a lot of comments about how she acted last year? Maybe she's trying to change to that?
I don't think so, because she still has her moments of throwing shade in her self interviews or whatever, which is great, but it's just, I think she's just in a place in her life like nobody cares about. Like, yeah, you got another boy baby and all those annoying pictures and the things that Phaedra does, like, it's just not interesting anymore. We're over it. Unless she's, like, fighting with the women. Like, and she's kind of above that anyway. She's a real businesswoman and has things to do. Obviously, Apollo does not have enough to do.
Well, he seemed like he was irritated because, what did we get? First of all, Aiden is effing adorable. I just cannot with this kid.
He was cuter to me in this episode.
Everything he was saying, like, yeah. Where do you get the baby from? With a scalpel.
And when he was holding the baby kind of collapsed. That was great.
You know, they're doing this family photo thing, and... if I was the photographer, when I said, oh, what's the baby's name? And you said Mr. President, I'd be like, okay. What's his real name?
And what's his real name?
Because clearly he's not Obama.
It's ridiculous. But Apollo was angry.
Yeah, and he's talking about,
home with this shit.
I had stuff to do.
What did you have to do?
That you can't throw some white clothes on
That's
and take
what
a picture.
We would like to know. Apollo, what are you doing?
Now, that was really awkward. I would never have wanted to be up in that house. Because
that seemed
that
like a real, real argument. Like, it didn't seem staged. It didn't seem like something that they kind of planned out to happen. Like, that seemed for real. And I was like, ooh, Phaedra. And Phaedra even, she commented on it on Watch What Happens last night, basically saying, you know, we're just, you know, going through what any other couple goes through. We've got two young children, which is true. They are in a very tense sort of place in their relationship, like most people would be.
And especially with
kids.
The Kenya thing going on, we don't know when that when the photo shoot was actually filmed. Yeah. As far as their discussion with the whole Kenya and mm-hmm. are you texting someone else? And you know what? Maybe if I do let you go with other girls, why the hell are you hitting this bitch up?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It came off. I mean, I get both sides. I get why he would be annoyed with certain things because she does kind of treat him like a house boy.
Put that shirt on and come look pretty.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and I thought it was interesting where he was kind of saying, you know, sometimes I'm right and yada,
yeah,
yada, yada.
And
then we got the baby bottle situation where she was.
Yeah.
He's like, boo, you were wrong.
Yeah. But I get Phaedra because she's tired.
Yeah. And it's like, girl,
it's
why would you pour
like,
the,
who, when you say, but there's milk in it, like, wouldn't you just be like, there's milk in it. You sure you want me to pour this out? So I get it, Phaedra, girl.
I would have been like, girl, you
I
are fired.
I would have nutted up, too.
You are fired.
Like, don't be pouring my breast milk out. You know how many pumps I got to do to get that stuff out? Oh, my God. Anyway.
I want
to
see what those pictures came out looking like. Because Apollo, when he was like, everyone fake smile, Apollo was like.
Here we go.
So, I don't know. Phaedra, hopefully you can spice it up next week. Cynthia. Poor Cynthia. She needed a will, which I loved your comment last week. Like,
how are you a woman with a child and you don't have a will? That is so not acceptable. I know a lot of people like don't like to do them because
but when
they don't want to think about it.
When's
but,
a proper time for you to start a will? Like, I always think about that, too, because I'm like, I feel like if I write a will now, I'm assuming that I'm passing.
No, but if I mean, as a single non-child having person, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, if you have substantial assets, it may be a big deal. But if you have kids and you care about who they go to and things like that, like, you should have a will in place for that purpose because okay. you're responsible to somebody else like mm-hmm. that. And granted, she has a father who the father might take it out. But there are situations where there's parents that are together. What if you both pass in an accident or something awful, God forbid, and you have not made your wishes known as to what you would like to happen?
Right.
It's not like calling. It's just being responsible. So I think it's strange that she doesn't have one.
Well, she didn't say she didn't have one. She just said, I was surprised that I needed a will.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. So afterwards, she goes in surgery. Afterwards, I love that Peter stood by her side, all that.
Yeah, but I totally agree. When she was talking about him, she asked him if he was nervous, and he was like, yeah. I'm like, you are not supposed to say that. Like, just be my strength right now. I don't need to know you scared.
You know what's really funny about that? It's just straight men in those types of situations don't know how to do the little white lies. I actually have a friend who, after my friend had the baby,
mm-hmm.
he said, she's like, oh my God, I feel like a mess. He's like, yeah, you look a mess. You just don't say certain things.
Don't say things.
But I get it, Peter. We all get it. You don't know what's going on with her private parts.
He's just like, I just want them to be healed so I can beat them up 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week. And she was like, once a week was fine for me.
Well, all right. So I want to talk to you about that. I love the part where she was like, you know, I want to talk to Peter alone. Like, you didn't need to kick your mom out there for that moment. And then we have the sex talk. And, you know, she says, well, how many times a week would you want it? Obviously, he was going to say every
day
and night.
Multiple times.
She said, well, I feel like once a week is a good time. I don't know. I'm sitting here like, I don't understand when people ask that question, like, how much sex do you think a couple should be having a week? I mean, I feel like it depends on you and your situation. I hate when people are like, I need to have sex at least 3 times. Like, why are you counting?
Well,
it should just be happening. If it's not happening,
well, that's the point.
Then you should be then you probably
when you're like together, you've been together for a long time, if you have kids that are involved, it's easy to like go by and it's like 2-3 weeks and you're like, oh, we haven't had sex. Because you're tired and you're working and you're running and you're picking kids up and you don't always have privacy and like it's crazy. So it's
something kind of like you need to
you have to plan it out or it's not going to happen. I mean, it's just like everything else in life. Like if you don't plan to go to the dentist, you're not going to get around to doing it. You always have something else you could be doing instead of going to the dentist. And sometimes, especially the ladies, you'd rather be asleep because there's just so much happening in life. And it's a man thing to think that that needs to happen like all day, every day. Like, boy, ain't nobody got time for that. Like, yeah. But I understand that it should happen.
Yeah.
Frequently. But I understand.
I'm pissed that they didn't show Peter's answer because I really wanted to see what he was going to
Well, Cynthia,
I roughly get what he was going to go with. But.
Cynthia tweeted that she has upped it to, okay, 4 times a week is acceptable.
Oh. So, I mean, 1 to 4 times. That's a big jump.
That's almost every day.
Right.
That's every other day.
The baby must be at the daddy's house.
Well, you know it. But daddy lives in New York, so that's a little bit tough. Unless he's moved to Atlanta, but he was in New York.
I don't know.
Well, she's older now. She doesn't need as much attention.
That's true.
She can do her own thing.
She's probably.
But that completely like bashes our theory about freaking Cynthia and Peter. We thought they were just had to be getting it on the regular, and obviously they are not.
So they want us to believe. Just kidding.
That could be their story.
So let's get into Portia. She got her. I have so much empathy towards her situation, sympathy towards her situation, and you know what? Like, I get it. And I get, like, going through the patches of being okay and being like, yeah, 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 and then seeing a wedding dress and breaking down and crying. Yes. I get that. But this storyline, it's starting to wear on me, and this is only the damn third episode.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets her things from Cordell, sent in boxes, and she makes this big deal because underneath her wedding dress was her reception dress, so the corset, and it was kind of...
Beads were torn off, I guess.
A little beat up.
A little beat up because there were some shoes on top.
Overreacted? Or is that something...
That's a queen move! No, it's not. That's a man move. He put some stuff in a box and didn't give a crap. Like, that's not like, let me think.
No, if he saw the photo album and saw the scratched up face, then that would be a queen move.
That would be a queen move. But, like, I probably would have just threw it all in a box. Like, I'm not going to pretty pack it for you. Like, here, there, it's all done. It's all in one box. So I didn't...
Which I think when she showed Candy Cam, was kind of looking at like, yeah.
Torn up. Oh, who would do that?
And, you know, here's the other thing. I know we all had our little jokes on the first after show here and with Cordell and his sexuality. And, I mean, we all still, you know, have our own beliefs. but I'm kind of getting tired of her now shading him every... I mean, there were probably, like, out of her two scenes, 4 references to him being gay.
Yeah.
And it's just, they were kind of cheap shots. And even the cheap shot, which maybe he did, I'm not taking away if he did, about putting his hands on her.
That's where I was like, okay, are you really saying that that happened? Because if you're not pretending with that, like, little, well, to make people think that it happened, if you know it didn't happen, you should have cleared that up. But if she's saying, I mean, it's a he said, she said, she can say what she wants, but I don't know, man. That's some frosty stuff to be throwing around.
Well, so before we get into that subject, I mean, with the whole gay thing, I mean, she was saying, I didn't even write them down because it was just so many different things, but she was referencing it so many times that could it become slander? Could he go after her for kind of slander?
I don't know in that regard, unless there's some kind of, like, I think you have to prove, like, some kind of effect on your, like, business or ability to make funds and that your image means something. Like, I don't know all the details of that specifically, but I would imagine that at some point. But then again, with his history, maybe not, because they had the rumors before.
But this is where I see it kind of being a bigger thing, because if the rumors were already out there, you can always be like, it's hearsay, hearsay. But now when your ex-wife is like, I mean, I can't say anything, but I'm saying.
I mean, and the reality is we're in America. He can sue for anything he wants to. So he can sue the hell out of her if he liked. But whether or not he would win, I don't know. But... I don't know. I just know that, to me, it makes her look worse constantly. Because, and I'm not saying, like, battered women don't stay in relationships and all of that. Like, if all that stuff happened, fine. But you're obviously not trying to, like, specifically say, yes, I believe he's gay, and yes, he beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I needed to leave that relationship. If you're not going to make woman up and say that, and those were the reasons, then don't try to elude and pretend and, like, play around. Just... I think he's crap. He broke my damn wedding dress, and I don't like him. He locked me out of the house. And when she was the story with the security guard, like, just was too much, that she was talking about on Wendy last week, just being kicked out of the house. But if you're, like, if that's...
Oh, no, wait, what happened with the security guard?
Oh, when she was saying when she was locked out of the house, she was actually on the phone with Nene at the time, because they had come from an event, and it was only, like, 11 o'clock. And when she got there, there was a security guard, because we were all wondering, how in the hell did she get locked out of her own house? She said there was a security guard there that told her he's not allowed to let her in the house. I shouldn't be laughing with that. I mean, damn.
Oh, my God. I wish Nene was there with her to tell her. Like, oh, I wonder what Nene said at that moment.
I don't know. Unless they, like, hung up the phone. Because she's, like, she was on the phone in the car. So maybe she was off the phone by the time she got out of the car. I don't know. But either way, that was amazing.
Ooh.
But anywho, like I said, those reasons which you're willing to talk about freely, then talk about them. But don't bash a man that we aren't getting his side of the story unless you are going to be straight up and say what you mean. Mm-hmm. Don't pretend and him and haw and women that we have enough problems with being believed about abuse and things like that to begin with. If he was abusive, then you want to say that, then say it, but don't allude to it and not actually be fully revealing or honest about it, mm-hmm. or seemingly honest about it, because then you're backtracking, like, well, no, we not together because he was gay, it was because of the treatment. But if he was gay, then why were you okay being together? Like, right. That doesn't make any sense. So anyway, I hope she gets it together, because she's looking worse to me and I'm losing sympathy for her.
I thought it was also interesting seeing Candy's side of the story, saying, you know, I've seen guys like Cordell all the time.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, they really want to be loved, but then when they get mad, they don't know how to kind of deal with that anger, and so they lash out.
They lash out.
And she said it's not in a queenie way. She said it's in a very, I don't remember the exact word, but she was basically...
It's essentially that I don't give a F. Yeah. Like, completely don't give a F.
Which, literally, like, you got the wedding album, you even got the damn invitation.
Throw it all in a box. You are nothing to me anymore. And I can agree with Candy. I know some people like that. Mm. They wouldn't be like, oh, that's her wedding dress. Let me be careful. Like, F her and her wedding dress.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you know what I mean? And who knows what has been said in between.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, if he gets any hearsay of the things that her and her family have been talking about with this whole, I mean, I'm not saying, but I'm saying. Divorce is like a funeral.
I could see that.
I understood that.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then here's the other one. I want to just kind of open this as a conversation. She said, you know, for so long, she's like, I put on this front like everything was fine. But you know what? Everything wasn't fine. And I put on my smile and I sucked it up, because as long as on camera we came off as a happy couple, we'd be able to push past that. And I don't know. I kind of felt her in that moment, because I feel like a lot of people do that. She also said, you know, I didn't want to share a lot of things with the girls because I didn't want to feel judged.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that comes to a good thing. A lot of people wonder, like, is it okay to talk about your relationship with people? Is it not okay? What's okay to talk about? What's not okay?
I mean, I think that's everybody's individual decision, but especially when you get to a place where you are now married to someone, I think that friends, family in general, are not objective parties for you to talk to begin with, and can also be a source of more mess for your situation. So if you want to talk to somebody, maybe go to counseling, like to an actual objective party. But, and I mean, I understand, like, you can vent to your friends a little bit and thing, but even venting and stuff like that, you only do so much of that because you're not trying to paint a picture of your mate one way. And then when things are going well, things are fine. But as soon as things go bad, they're in your ear. Like, remember you told me he used to do this all the time. Remember he told me you do that. And don't be a woman. I can only speak from one perspective because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
That is talking to your single friends about your relationship. And people just... You marry, you're in it together. I do think people need to fight harder for their relationships, especially when it comes to marriage. And so I feel her on that and, like, wanting to keep that between, especially on this show. But, boo, why'd you go on the show if y'all had problems? Because the whole point is that it's going to blow up on the camera.
I wonder,
at some point.
But I also wonder if, because, I mean, you know, Portia ain't. I mean, if she was a train, she'd be the caboose. You know what I'm saying? But she, in her mind, I could see her thinking, we're going to go on this show, he knows, you know, because Cordell's all about image.
Yeah.
So he's going to put the image on, and maybe it'll force us to go back to that happy place. And
but Dan, they weren't even married that long. They were married like a year and a half, like, before the show started airing, which means they were, like, married all of a year before they started taping. Like, and you were already having this kind of drama? Girl, be glad you sexy and got some good weave and move on.
Well, she got some good weave, but she don't got some good toys because she was going through them boxes.
That was pretty funny.
And she found, I believe she found the...
penis.
The dildo.
The dildo. The penis thingy.
And the little stimulator finger thing.
Which she admitted that she had opened that and needed it and whatnot.
Which, all right, Cordell, she needed that.
Well, he wouldn't know. He didn't want her body.
Right.
So
then she goes, wait a minute, what was this box? And sees some damn Kegel balls missing. And she claims she didn't open up the Kegel balls. And now the Kegel balls are missing. I mean, I think this is fake and a setup.
I agree.
Because I really can't picture. I mean, I could pick it. Now, if the other one was missing.
Maybe the dildo, but I'd be like, but
I can't picture Cordell walking around with some Kegel balls in his ass, like, just vibrating. Like,
that's weird.
Dude, I don't know if Kegel balls vibrate, but. Yeah, so I don't know about that. And I don't know if. I would pray that Cordell would be a smarter man than to put the empty box.
Yeah, I'm sure she opened them and, like, they rolled under the bed or something and she forgot about it. And then they're, yeah. Or maybe they fell out while she was using them. Oh, no judgment, no judgment.
Well, if that's the case, then I think Cordell left her for another reason.
I was too swanging in the wind.
Speaking of the wind, Miss Kenya.
Gone with the wind, not fabulous.
Well, now she's off to twirling and she's into twerking. She's there with her pet Brandon.
She wasn't even twerking for real. Like, what was that?
That was like, it shows her age.
That was like.
It shows her age, though.
I got the wiggle. I love to twerk. I'm twerking on the piano. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well, she was with her pet. I mean, the dumbest thing I've ever seen is her pet Brandon.
Yeah, he's
He's reading a text from the landlord who called Kenya a lonely, classless, bitter, miserable, pathological liar.
Ouch. Damn.
She's packing up all her stuff.
Which she didn't have very much of because it all fit in the Range Rover.
Yeah, which makes me think, like, what was this whole scene? Like, did they have to bring boxes to make it look like they were unpacking?
I think it was a setup.
Okay.
Because it looks stupid. There was nothing in that house. Even the boxes that they had, like, I didn't see them put anything in a box, ever.
Well, she was wrapping up, like, the
She had some
Comcast,
picture frames, and then she handed them to them, like, and the cable box, but, yeah.
And then I'm like, you sitting here talking about you, this actress and all this, but here you are backing up your own stuff, and you try to make it seem like you live this fabulous life.
We're your movers. Maybe they already came, and that's why all the stuff was
Well,
gone.
She said the movers had came, and that's why she finds this box.
That was randomly in the hallway.
With this wedding dress in it.
That she somehow knew was not her box.
And she says, you know, I relieve my tension through twerking, and then puts this dress on, and comes down the stairs and does this whole dance twerk
song thing.
In Kanye's wedding dress.
Yeah.
All right. Kanya ends up showing up. I would love to actually know the real timestamps that this happened.
Me too.
Because Kenya keeps saying that I was allowed to be in the house until 5 o'clock. Kanya comes up. Funny, bitch, now you don't want to be on camera.
Exactly.
But you wanted to be on camera and you went to that in that first episode last season.
True that. Which it makes me kind of, when I saw that, because I was like, oh, that's the girl? I was like, oh, well, maybe Kenya's story about her, like, wanting to be friends and thinking they were actually closer and she would be on camera more is probably true.
Yep.
But when Kanya called the police and they asked for a description of the woman.
Oh, that was the biggest shade of them all. What did she say?
Oh.
She's black.
Black.
Tall. What else did she say?
Implants. Contact. How you gonna describe somebody?
And weaves.
Implants, contacts, and weaves. Kanye, you real, real, real good for that. Real good. That was real good for me.
I can't. And I also can't with the fact that she allowed producers to tap her phone to get that recording. So, but part of me looks at that again to kind of actually side with Kenya. Mm-hmm. You know,
that was her trying to get some.
Girl, you trying
time.
To get? Yeah,
she was trying to get camera time, and she did, and it was good.
But it's interesting that she didn't. That she got wanted camera time and then wanted her face blurred out. Or I wonder if Kenya was like, "Don't give that bitch no airtime."
I wonder, or maybe legally she had to for some reason. After the fact, since there's like litigation between the two of them.
I mean, she was bugging out, first of all.
I mean, it was ridiculous because she was obviously like not destroying the property. But the reality is Kenya's crazy. And yes, she won the defamation lawsuit because the woman was all in the media talking smack and all of that, which is true. But the basis of their fight might have been rooted in something for real. That because Kenya crazy. Mm-hmm. So her friends was probably crazy too, and two crazies together do crazy stuff. So they probably was on some other stuff.
And I also did think, I mean, we know filming and stuff like that, production could have been taking a little longer, and maybe she figured, oh, yeah, she ain't gonna be around this time.
Exactly.
We can continue to film, and maybe it went a little over when they actually were supposed mm-hmm. to be there.
Isn't it funny? This is like the second like eviction, like get out of my house situation for Atlanta Housewives. Because Kim had the same problem. Oh, this is my dream house, and this is perfect, and I'm renting it. And suddenly you have to get out.
But shout out to our fans on iTunes. I don't know who it was. I'll get your name. I'm going to give you a shout out next week. I apologize. I couldn't do it this week. Damn, giving us the damn address to bar one and the phone number. I love you.
We appreciate that. And I peeped that Nene was having like a model call at bar one like last week.
Nene?
Oh, really? I don't know if she's got a clothing line or what's going on, but she was looking for curvy girls last week.
I mean, they said they had passed by it a couple Thursdays ago, and it was pretty packed.
It's popping.
So, all right, bar
okay,
one.
Bar one, doing I it imagine. Up. Because Peter need to make some money because he's buying buildings and whatnot. So,
boop. So, yeah, that was kind of it for Kenya, right?
Yeah, that's all Kenya, and she rolled on her merry little way.
I can't believe this is happening to me. Oh, I can't wait for Nene to read her next week.
On that hotel room?
Yes.
I'm reading her too, boo, because it was looking very, very, very Howard Johnson. Mm.
Well, I want y'all to read for us this episode, and I'm going to be reading y'all's comments on iTunes. So if you guys want to shout out next week, leave us a funny comment on our iTunes, subscribe to us, rate us, and leave us a really funny comment. Read the girls for filth.
Please.
Read the show for filth. We love it. We'll give you a shout out next week. Just search AfterBuzz TV Real Housewives of Atlanta. On that note, we're going to head to predictions.
Predictions. Our ghostly music.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Predict.
So hopefully next week isn't a bust. Hopefully next week isn't a filler episode.
Because this week was definitely filler paper.
Mm-hmm. We get more Portia slander in Cordell.
Surprise, surprise. I know they showed a clip of Cordell talking to Peter, I think it was. So I'm ready for him to like give something to me just because... I'm not one of those people that just be like, oh, she a woman, high five. He did that to her. I want to hear both sides of the story and make my own decisions.
And, you know, the first episode I kind of was Portia, because, you know, it was fresh, it was new.
Yeah.
And, I mean, whether who was right or wrong in that situation, you can...
It does suck. I can empathize. Yeah. The Twitter thing was bogus, especially because he's in the house. Yeah. He could have walked over to her and said, boo, it's over.
Well, and the fact that she said, I think it was last episode, she said, I went to him. The funny thing is I went to him a couple weeks before.
Yes.
And he got mad when I asked about
divorce. Yeah.
Which to me is like, why'd you ask that?
You know what I mean? She knew something was going on. That's why Portia ain't as...
Woman's intuition.
Well, I also think she's not as absolved of guilt as we would like to believe. Because I'm sure... I believe they both had a part in the mess. And the mess... And I want to know more about why... What else happened. Or what he says happened in as a part of the mess. Because we know what he nutted up on and was inappropriate about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that security guard, boo. Hilarious for me. Bogus as hell for your wife.
Yeah. And... Most of our fans also agreed that you don't lock someone out like that.
Yeah. I mean, I would.
Especially if she said 11 o'clock.
I want to know if that's true too, because I mean, 11 o'clock, that's ridiculous. I could see if it was a consistent, like, oh, you just coming home at like 5 o'clock in the morning, I would lock you out. But obviously you have a key so you could get in, but I would lock my bedroom door and you would not be getting in there. But
11 o'clock to me is a reasonable time, especially she's on a show like this.
Yeah,
especially
because she said, because we wondered too if she was at like an event for Real Housewives, and supposedly she was at an event for Housewives. So, and they were taping.
Oh, really?
She said they were taping when she was on The Wendy Show.
So we'll probably see her walking in and getting locked out?
Well, no, because it's past, because they weren't taping. Well, then that doesn't make sense. Mm. Look at us doing our Inspector Gadget work up in here. Okay, we don't know, but okay.
So Kenya's living in the ghetto next week.
Living in the hood in the hotel.
Shit, Nene, I can't. Living in the ghetto.
Nasty.
And then we get Phaedra, Paul, Kenya in the sex text. Candy's kind of talking to Kenya about it. And Phaedra, look, that's why I feel like that photo shoot happened after this conversation next week with Apollo.
Well, hopefully she at least, like, wants to really stab him with a fork and they have a real good. Because Andy said that moment at the table was tough.
Oh, really?
Yes. So hopefully it's... Even though we know the outcome, let's pray for good, juicy TV.
Yes.
Yes.
And I would love, honestly, if they would actually show us some text.
Yeah.
I want to see it visually.
Word on the street is that maybe Apollo is the one that's instigating all of it and overread it and made it seem like it was something it wasn't at the reunion show.
Ooh, and that is all the tea we have for you this week. Please leave us more on iTunes. Please, we love you guys on YouTube and subscribe, but we need to get to number one. So we will give you a shout out if you leave us a comment on the iTunes podcast, AfterBuzz TV, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Keep the conversation going with us. I mean, we literally talk about it. We tweet memes about each other all week long. Tweet us at AfterBuzz TV, and you can tweet me at DJ Jesse J.
And me at Stuart Starlet.
Till next week, same time, same place. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.